At least you knew how to talk.
That's okay. Yeah.
Microphone, I have two. Okay, if we're all ready, we have Mr. Icapato online. To the... If we have him online, then we can just keep going.
Councilman Icapato, are you able to hear us?
I'm here.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. Then we will get started with our Economic Development Committee meeting for today. Call to order. And item two is approval of minutes.
Well, Madam Chairman, before we go to minutes, I would like to request that we revise the agenda to have item five after item three, and then we go to item four, will be item five.
Okay.
And I'll make that in a form of a motion.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We make that adjustment on the agenda. Okay.
And I'll move for approval of the minutes.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay. Item three is public comment. Do we have anyone here today to speak to the committee? No? Okay. Item four will now be item five, staff updates instead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. I just want to take a little bit of time to update the committee on economic development activities since I'm not in front of you guys every month. So just a quick sort of dashboard view of what's been going on. First up, year to date, 16 on-site visits of businesses here in town already. That ranges from well-established manufacturing operations to newer and a little different type of businesses. But part of what I'm going to try to do is make sure we talk to existing businesses about their plans moving forward so we can catch them early if they're looking to expand or leave or anything like that so that they have a relationship with us. And that second bullet there by new company contacts, those are basically companies that I've cultivated to have a relationship with since I've started here. So there's tons of informal contacts, but these are the ones that are in my CRM to follow up with to make sure that I use our resources to help them expand, grow, or to potentially relocate here. So both of those are sort of, now that I've gotten traction, I expect us to pass those pretty broadly by the end of the year, but want to let you guys know that. We do have five projects on my whiteboard right now, two of whom are with, it says external stakeholders, but that's working a project with the county on some expansions here in town and one potential relocation. So that's exciting. Hopefully we'll have some announcements before the close of the year. Town Proud is a program you're all familiar with, but we're relaunching it, starting with sort of a new newsletter. We've worked with communication staff to revamp what that program offers. And it'll just be a more regular way to communicate with members who participate in the Town Proud program. We partnered with, as you guys know, Just Be to make sure businesses are aware of what the town's doing for autism awareness and that they can participate in Just Be as well. I've developed a group of targeted leads that really speak to the clusters called out in our strategy. So primarily tech and life sciences companies, firms that look like they'd be good fits for the region, and these will be personalized leads and reaching out sort of like direct marketing, individualized to the heads of each of these companies, and hopefully we'll get a visit or two and maybe even land one or two of these companies. That's part of our marketing effort that's spelled out in the strategic plan. The Harbor Entrepreneur Center, as you guys know, is well underway. They are moving in right now. That second sub-bullet says mostly leased up, but actually as of right now, they are fully leased up. There are 26 companies that are going to call Harbor Entrepreneur Center home. They're all different. They range from software firms to financial tech firms. There's some DOD sort of high-tech contractors in there. There's even some food manufacturers that are going to be in there. So it's really a diverse group of folks, and we'll stay really close to those companies so that when it comes time for them to spin out, they'll know that we're here as a resource. They can make their permanent larger home here in Mount Pleasant. And their accelerator is underway. So the accelerator is a program where they take companies that are ready and vetted. They're going to scale, and they go through basically a pretty intense training program to help them get to the next step, whether the next step is marketing or capital or just expanding on the business plan. So there are 12 high-impact companies in that group right now, and that's been in its like third week, I think. The economic development website is underway. We selected a vendor last week officially. It's Ingenious out of Greenville, and they have worked with economic development firms in the past, including with me, so I'm familiar with them. They're familiar with what we're going to want, so I think that's an important tool to have, a standalone economic development website, so that when we begin some digital marketing in earnest, we have a good landing page for whoever happens to be searching for space in the Charleston region. And I thought it would be important for you guys to know we've been collaborating with DOT on their 526 project. When they had their public meeting, made sure I found the right contact so that as businesses are specifically identified that'll be impacted, I know before the business knows. We are actually working with one particular company that is absolutely going to be impacted on a relocation very close to where they are. So I think that's, they've been great work with. They know what our goals are, and that's to keep these companies in Mount Pleasant and help them find space to expand and continue to thrive that are going to be effective. So there's some general updates, but I also thought you guys may find this slide pretty interesting. Our focus here, of course, is not on retail, but the gross taxable sales from the Department of Revenue is a pretty good retail indicator. And retail activity is a pretty good barometer for a community like Mount Pleasant that has a lot of that. And this is really just for informational purposes. That red arrow is COVID. So you see the dip, but you see the town in terms of sales fully recovered in 2021 and then continued to climb up, hit a record at $3.1 billion in total sales, and I would expect us to continue that trend line to continue through 2023, although the future economic future can be precarious depending on what consumers do in the second half of this year. But I just thought this was a pretty interesting stat. If you look at the five big municipalities in our region, it accounts for over $300 billion in gross retail sales. So the Charleston region broadly is sort of a big piece of the economic puzzle in South Carolina, not only from what people think of in economic development traditionally, but also in retail sales. So that is sort of all the updates I had for you guys. It was a lot I threw at you in a short amount of time, but wanted to keep you updated as to what we're working on and take any questions you may have.
I just have one question. That dealt with the company that we talked about last month, Golf something.
Golf Breaks.
Golf Breaks. That was the reason I'd asked.
Yes.
With the DOT, have they now been contacted, or were they contacted before?
They have not been contacted by DOT, but we did call on them. I went with my counterpart at the county about a month ago. We told them that it's a possibility that they were going to be affected and that that building would be affected. So it's on their radar. They know that they may have to relocate, but they lease that space. So depending on where they go, but they know that it's a possibility they might.
Okay, good. That's all I was interested in.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Acapano, did you have any questions?
Appreciate you asking me. Great presentation. Thank you, Matt. Thanks. I see Matt out a lot, and I know he's doing a great job to promote economic development and keep the businesses that we have in the town. So I see him at many events, and I think the position is working. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask about the Entrepreneur Center. They're going to have kind of a little grand opening this month later.
In August.
In August.
Yeah, we ran up against vacations and things like that. And so August 2nd, we're going to have a opening event, 4 to 7. You know, you get to tour the facility, meet the companies, meet the people who are stakeholders in that. And so that'll be more details to come for all the people that will be invited to that.
Mm-hmm.
The harbor has actually hired a second staff person who will be fortunately doing a lot of the event planning so that Matt doesn't have to do a lot of it. So, so that'll be forthcoming, but yeah, that's August 2nd.
Okay. I was thinking it was this month. And were they able to expand? You mentioned food prep companies when they talked about doing
so
extra space downstairs. Were they able to get that space?
So they have taken the top and the bottom half, okay. Portions of the original space. So the food company is actually sort of a, I'm not sort of like a high tech food company. So it's more of their administrative offices are okay. in there, but they do have access to that fully certified kitchen. And, if they are able to expand within that building and maybe take down more space, it would make more sense to hire a full-time food and bev operator out of that and make it a restaurant. But with 26 companies right now, maybe not. But we'll see how they're gonna how that will shake out.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. That was some great information. Okay. Now, next item is our presentation of options for our town-owned property on Faison Road.
Yes, ma'am. I want to introduce Jonathan Oakman with Landmark. Okay. I think y'all probably been familiar with Jonathan, but he's going to present three options, and I'll let him take it from here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. Good morning. I'm Jonathan Oakman, Vice President of Landmark Development for Landmark Enterprises. I'm here also with Jason Ward and Austin Ando from our team at Landmark, and also Nathan Schutte from McMillan Paz and Smith, and Whitner Kane from Seaman Whitesides. And as I think you all know, this is the team that's been working on this Faison Road project since our successful response to the RFP that the town put out about a year ago. So during that RFP interview process, which included conversations with yourselves and your colleagues on council, as well as multiple rounds of meetings with town staff, we were tasked with designing three different options for the Faison Road project based on different acreages, different amounts of economic development, and attainable housing. And these three options are the schemes we're going to put in front of you today. The first scheme maximizes the economic development on the site. This takes 8 full acres of developable area for economic development, and then we have stormwater retention outside of that 8 acres. That's scheme one. Scheme two, which you'll see, then incorporates 24 units of attainable housing, also keeping some economic development, and also, as in scheme one, that's 8 full developable acres with stormwater retention off-site. And then scheme three, we have kept the 24 units of attainable housing, again, reduced the economic development footprint to bring the stormwater retention on site. So that is less than 8 full developable acres because it does include the stormwater retention ponds. So I'm gonna talk about the building blocks that got us to these schemes. These are the parameters we've been using. And then, you know, we did this sort of piece by piece. I'm going to take you through that step by step. The first piece is building program. So what do we mean when we talk about economic development and attainable housing? So on our program, our building program, the key to the economic development buildings we have programmed is flexibility. So these are all 10,000 to 20,000 square foot buildings with open, easily configurable space inside. And the goal with these buildings is to capture businesses that fit with the town's economic development strategy, some of the ones that Matt was talking about. They're perfect for businesses that need creative and flexible workspaces. And in our minds, this would include architecture and engineering firms. It could include biotech and pharmaceutical research firms, graphic or industrial design shops, financial services firms, and other sort of creative businesses of these types. Wando Park Boulevard in Mount Pleasant, a half mile north in Charleston, and the lumber yard in Charleston all sort of exemplify the basic model that we've been working on here to create these buildings. To meet the needs of the market and also to take advantage of the competitive advantages of the Carolina Park area, there are also other types of businesses that we see as potential tenants in these same type of buildings. And there's categories we call out here. Small manufacturer could be a small parts manufacturer and a testing facility, or my personal favorite, a craft brewing operation. We've also got, you know, sports training facility or rehab sports medicine type facilities as one option. And then also active retail and services is a final category. Those are all within the 10,000 to square foot, 10,000 to 20,000 square foot building types that we'll show you in a minute. The other major use we're talking about on two of these schemes, as you know, is attainable housing. So based on our conversations with town staff, we've designed this as 24 townhomes grouped into buildings of 6 units each. The best examples of this product, you're familiar with, I think, the Gregory Ferry townhomes in Mount Pleasant. There's also a development under development in West Ashley called Bermuda Point Townhomes, which is very similar. So in constructing this program, we've been in touch with the group that developed Gregory Ferry and that's also developing Bermuda Point, and also the group that's helping to finance Bermuda Point to talk about how a partnership might work for this project. As we've discussed in the past, the Landmark Enterprises is a commercial developer. So if there were a residential side of this development, we would want to bring in a partner. So we want to, you know, have those discussions early. And those discussions are underway with a potentially great partner for the type of concept that we have here in our proposal. So let's look briefly visually at what these uses look like or could look like. So here in the top left corner, you'll see flexible creative office space. In the smaller picture, you see you've got sort of open space with some mezzanine area that can be used for all sorts of creative workspaces. Also some connectivity to some outdoor amenities that would be good for, you know, today's sort of creative younger workforces. And off to the right on the top, we have a craft brewing operation. You can see Westbrook here, which is obviously a great business in Mount Pleasant. We could do something similar to that, and maybe even something that has a, you know, food and beverage service component that could create a gathering place for the community. All right, down to the bottom left, you can see some of our sports training facilities there in the middle, or, you know, it's sort of easy to imagine this also as sports rehab, sports medicine facilities. And then off to the left, you have some more active retail. And in this case, we've chosen an e-sports arena all the way to the left. That's something that we feel could be a very powerful, you know, market-driven business here in Mount Pleasant. We also have an indoor trampoline park, which would be a good, you know, amenity for the families in the Carolina Park area. And all the way to the right on the bottom, you see the attainable housing. This is kind of the concept of the clustered townhomes that we're talking about for this project. So that's the first piece, building program. Now we have to round out the site, which leads us to the next piece, which is site amenities on the next slide. So Stephen Whiteside has gone through and pulled out some precedent images for us. As you recall, you know, we're talking about developing 8 acres of the site, and it's actually a much larger site here. So as we were discussing, you know, in the RFP discussions, you know, one of the questions was, how can we be good stewards of the remaining undeveloped area once we do this development? So in thinking about this, we feel that the best use for this extra acreage would be a combination of active and passive recreational amenities. So you'll see here precedents for up to the left, paths and trails for walking, running, and biking. To the right, you've got the idea of like a stormwater detention pond, which sort of doubles as a recreation pond where you could have a crab dock or, you know, fishing dock for families to use. And then also kind of interspersed in the middle, you know, a lot of this site is still forested and there is some wetland. So, you know, we imagine a trail system kind of within that more sort of virginal forested area in some of the remaining acreage of the site. All of these would enhance, support, and extend the billing program as they provide a range of ways that employees, residents, and visitors can enjoy the natural environment that this project will create. So now I've given you three things. The number one is the parameters of the three schemes that we had to start with. Number two, the building program elements that fit into those schemes. And number three, the site elements that layer on top of the building program. So those are our building blocks. Let's see how those translate into the three schemes that we've put together for you. So here you see scheme one. Scheme one, again, is a full 8 acres of developable area used for economic development purposes. Just an aside here, I should mention this. We've oriented these maps such that Faison Road is at the bottom of the map, so which is makes it easier to read how the development looks and works on the site. But in reality, actually north is to the right of the page. So you're going to have north to the right, south to the left, and then west is to the top of the page, and east is at the bottom where Faison Road is. So I'm going to use both as I talk through this, but just to orient you. The stormwater.
Sorry, this is John. I apologize for interrupting.
Yes, sir.
May I ask a question, Madam Chairwoman? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is this using actual site surveys? This is the ad. Is this a plan as far as you know for a fact that this layout can be done on that block, or does it have to be spread out? Does that make sense to them? Asking, have you done site surveys?
Well, this just failed. So this plan and the other plans are, it's hard to see this here, maybe on the screen that you're looking at, but these are actually layered over site surveys that show, you can see sort of off to the right of where we put the buildings, there's a wetland area. But generally speaking, I mean, these schemes are created on top of the site surveys that we have, so we're fairly comfortable that something like what we have shown here could fit on this site.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So in this case, actually, let me see something. I may have the wrong slide here. Okay, sorry, let me fast forward to this slide that actually gives you sort of the full picture. And maybe, Mr. Icafano, this may actually help to answer your question a little bit, but the stormwater detention on scheme one, as with all the other schemes, actually is to the south of the site on your left. The reason for that is that the outfall for this site and the lowest point on the site is the southwestern corner, which is the top left of your screen. So we've kept the site, the stormwater detention to the south side of the project so it can flow out efficiently as needed to the outfall of the site. It just makes sense with what will ultimately be the grading plan that would go with this project. So as for the buildings, you can see here, the buildings are oriented along Faison Road. to the left of the wetlands area. We have two access points under Faison Road, which allows for good vehicular access to that road, but also allows us to do good traffic circulation within the cluster itself. As you can see here, there are roads and actually parking sort of organically organized within and between the buildings, so that it kind of works as a cluster of buildings here. And while I'm talking about the street access, I should also say that we do not show here a bus stop along Faison Road, but we would like to have a way that this connects to public transit. We've reached out to CARTA to talk about how this might work. There currently is not a CARTA transit line that runs along Faison Road, but we're starting the conversations with CARTA about how we might be able to connect to the public transit infrastructure that's in this area.
Madam Chairman, if I could just ask, so would you look for the bus stop to be interior or strictly along Faison Road?
That honestly is probably something that we would get advice from CARTA itself on. It would depend a little bit on how they would want to access or use Faison Road. The other question is if they would actually, there may be a better location for a bus stop that's in the neighborhood of this site that's not actually right next to it. So we have to sort of figure out what the connectivity is to this site first. But I think I would take, you know, their best advice on how to serve this. They probably would have if they had a line coming up and down Faison Road, we potentially would be able to do a bus stop right along that street, but it would be up to them as to how that would work best.
And you would actually have a shelter that you would build?
Presumably, yes.
Okay, thank you.
So as discussed before about these buildings, these buildings are intended to be flexible and interchangeable. All of these footprints fit the economic development ideas that we've had. But for the sake of putting something down on a plan and showing something, what we show here in creating a cluster that we feel would work well, we have building A would be a manufacturing building that kind of holds down that first corner there. If we are to do, for instance, a craft brewing operation there, it had some food service gathering place type operation to it, it makes good sense for that to be sort of visible and holding down the most notable corner of the project. Could also be some other type of manufacturer or some other economic development business in that first building. We also have buildings B, D, and E are also sort of interchangeable. Again, creative office buildings, trying to utilize the frontage on Faison Road for visibility as much as we can, but also creating that cluster with the internal buildings as well. And then we have C shown here as a sports training or rehab facility that's organized on the interior of the site where you see C located, in part because it has connectivity to where we have this what's called open space, and we can imagine some fields there that would be, you know, that would create connectivity with building C as for outdoor programming for that training facility. As for off-site amenities in this scheme, we've planned a trail system that includes trails sort of to the south side that are focused around the detention ponds, where you could also again have docks or some other recreational opportunities. And then to the north side of the site, you know, in and around this open space, but these would be the sort of more forested trail areas. And to show you with this sort of road spike that comes up out really to the west, but towards the top of your plan, there's really two points to having that street there, the connectivity to the street grid there. One is that would be access for additional parking for the outdoor amenities themselves. So if somebody was coming to the site just to use the trail systems or what have you, they could access the site and then park in that extension. So, you know, so they're kind of outside of the hustle and bustle of the main cluster. The other reason for that street is just to show how if in the future, council decided that we wanted to have some sort of a phase two addition to this, this could be some connectivity to that additional development, be it either additional buildings or additional build out for the park system that would be something that, you know, some other recreation opportunities that council wanted to be involved in this outdoor space. So that is scheme one. Let's go on to scheme two and compare that one. So scheme two, again, utilizes the full 8 acres of development with stormwater detention offsite. But in this case, what we've done, the main change we've made is we have added 24 units of the attainable townhomes that we talked about. So that's shown as D here on this plan. You can see that eliminates a couple of the economic development buildings in return for those attainable housing units. Again, we have stormwater detention to the south, just in a slightly different configuration because we've moved the open space over to the south also, so it maintains connectivity with Building C, which is, again, sort of our sports or rehab training facility. We've also, in this scheme, we've altered the street grid to give a little bit more prominence to the boulevard that goes off to the west of the site, the one I was just talking about before. This spine that heads out to the west is now really the access for residents for the attainable housing and buildings in buildings D, but it also in some sense creates a natural division on the site between the residential node to the north and the commercial node to the south. So comparing scheme one to scheme two, basically what we see is that if all parameters are largely equal, adding the attainable housing in allows us to fit then about 50 to maybe 60% of the economic development program that we had in scheme one as the trade-off for adding in the 24 attainable townhomes. And then again, in terms of the offsite amenities program, it's very similar to what we had before, with just more of a focus on, you know, there's more forested, kind of untouched area with trails off to the north of the site, since we've moved the open space over to the south. So this is a sort of a more extensive, more virginal trail system than was shown in scheme one. So let's continue on to scheme three. Scheme three is similar to scheme two as from a program perspective, except that in this case, we have incorporated the stormwater detention into the 8 acres of developable area. So what that's done in effect is reduced the amount of building capacity that we have. And you can see here what that's done as we've kept the 24 units of attainable housing. That has reduced the economic development footprint to just buildings A and B. We've also shifted the entire development a little bit to the south as the stormwater detention ponds are a little bit smaller here, largely because there's less developable area that they're needing to drain. So with keeping the 24 attainable townhomes, you can see here what this is doing to the economic development plan. In scheme three, the commercial side of things really reads more as like two out parcels, A and B, versus an economic development cluster that you see certainly in scheme one and in a very reduced way in scheme two. In scheme three, it's, you know, the cluster aspect of the project as a whole is starting to be eroded because we just have less area to get more program on. So this scheme is a good indication of the impact of, you know, reducing the developable area. In this case, we can do maybe 40%, 30 to 35 to 40% of the economic development program that we had in Scheme 1. And as for the offsite amenities program, it's fairly similar to Scheme 2, except we've eliminated the open fields, as we've eliminated the sports training facility use. That's not to say we couldn't have open fields, obviously, but just from the perspective of what we're showing here, we've eliminated that piece from the offsite amenities program. So those are the three schemes, and I know you're sort of just seeing this for the first time, but as you sort of internalize what we've come up with, we'd love to take any questions or comments that the committee may have. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Chapman, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I think they're all great. I like two personally the best. And I think we need to try to come up with a town decision on which one of the three, but they all look good. They do what we asked you to do, and that is have a mix, but also continue to use the open space for the rest of our residents.
Mr. Acapano?
Yes.
Did you have any questions?
I've got questions. Could you go back to slide 2, please? Or to the second option?
Scheme 2, this one?
Yeah. So now the open space, will that be maintained by you or is that maintained by the town? Just so we understand.
We haven't really gotten that far, to be perfectly honest with you. We had just sort of programmed that as open space that could again be sort of, you know, sports fields or whatnot, but we would be happy to engage in a conversation about what that looks like and, you know, how it's maintained or even really what it becomes.
Okay, thank you. And then what do you feel that the direction of I see the flex space in, and I know Charleston as a whole, is short on flex space. I know if you build a flex space building right now, you probably have it leased before it even breaks ground. What is the thoughts on office versus the flex space? And when you discuss flex space, is that similar to kind of what's going on across from like Costco, or is it multi-level on the flex space?
My understanding of what's going on across from Costco is that it's much bigger footprints. I could be wrong about that, but, you know, these are, again, you know, 10,000 square foot footplates. Maybe they're 20,000 square feet if you have a second floor or a mezzanine. But these are small buildings that would cater to, you know, smaller creative users. You know, flex space, in my opinion, honestly, you know, flex space is a word that's used for a lot of different types of things. But what we see here is more office use, the types of offices that, you know, may need a little bit more creative workspaces. But, you know, some people use the term flex space to mean, you know, something, you know, closer to a small office and a lot of warehouse operation. I think that's less what we see here. We have thought in, for instance, in building A on this scheme, you know, we've included the opportunity for, you know, a small manufacturing operation here, and I think that is possible, but in my mind, that's less likely of a business that we might attract to this area than a creative office user. Does that help to respond to your question?
Yes, I'm the flex space thinker of the right small office and manufacturing or kitchen in the back, if you will. So you're thinking more for office space.
Correct.
I like Madam Chairwoman, I like A or B. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see A with affordable housing on it. That would create more acreage, though. But A was my favorite. B is probably something more that the rest of the council was looking for.
I agree. Can we see scheme one more time?
Sure.
Since he brought that up, right. Okay. So this is just taking out the idea of the affordable piece, housing piece, I guess.
Correct. One of the parameters we looked at was just if we make this a truly economic development cluster and blow that out as best we can, mm-hmm. what does it look like? And that's what created scheme one.
Right. And this one has stormwater is off-site, outside. Okay.
Correct. So the buildings and the buildings and the street grid takes up the 8 acres.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of partial to scheme one myself too, but okay. So this seems to address everything we ask. It's awesome. So our next step is bring this, let full council have a look at it.
Weigh in. Yes, ma'am. I think that's the appropriate next step and really to get council to weigh in and choose and or discuss and decide a modification that then we can bring back to the design team to create one final conceptual to move forward on. But yeah, it's not an immediate situation, but time is of the essence given some of the parameters we have.
Mm-hmm.
2025, and so really it's tough for us to move forward until council finally says yes, this is the option that we're interested in. So if it's okay with you and Mr. Chapman, Mr. Icofano on the line, we'd love to take this to council for their input at their next meet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right. I appreciate all the work y'all put in.
Madam Chair, yes. Question. Would we be bringing this to council with our recommendation of one of the three, or would we just be looking to bring this to council?
I think they would be well weighing in, seeing our picture, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and Mr. Icofano, you heard Madam Chair's comments and we heard yours. I suspect you'd be willing to share those at council in front of council, and then others who feel differently will be able to share theirs as well. But it seems as if based on what was already said here, I don't believe any further information or formal recommendations are required before the next council meeting.
I guess I do want to ask if council chooses a favorite scheme, then the next step is, I mean, what part are we obligated? Are we going to just put it out there to lease or just see who's interested for a ground lease? Was that the decision?
Well, once you and council point the way on the concept, then town staff will have to get to work with our design team here, start discussing, parameters of a contract and how to develop the space, the land. And that will, that will take time. I think everyone's would be interested at that point in as simple of a deal and as fair of a deal to everyone involved as possible. And then once we have that structure laid out, we would then bring that back to you to look at it and make sure you're comfortable with it. And then at that point, we would, sign a contract and proceed.
I guess even through economic development, we might know some people interested at some point be putting this out there once we choose a project.
Well, we have every intent, based on the selection that's already been made, to use the team we have here. And that's what council has decided so far.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as a concept is decided upon, then we'll move forward and start our discussions.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll be bringing this to council on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it, since we've already done the staff updates. And we'll adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you.